I will call the February 26th County Council meeting to order at 7:05 p.m. Please stand and take a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weagle.
Here.
Warren Caston.
Romine.
Here.
Benrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
Further, here are the minutes from our last meeting, which was February 12th. Were there any changes or corrections that need to take place?
Under the very first item minutes, there doesn't list a second after Jackie's motion.
Okay.
And I'm sure there was one.
I'm sure there was, too. There probably was 2 seconds.
Could be.
Is there anything else that needed changed? Hearing none, can I have a motion?
Make a motion. We approve the minutes as presented.
Okay. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Unanimous of those present. Next up is the compliance with statement of benefits, Aardvark Enterprise, Oakview Tooling.
Actually, this is someone here for that? No. Actually, this is for the 2014 and. This is their annual compliance with statement of benefits. Everything is in compliance with what they originally put on their SB 1.
Okay.
It'd be approved.
Is there two separate abatements?
Yeah, one is the personal property and one is real property.
Okay, and they're different owners. The personal property is owned by one company and the.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we need to do them separately?
Yeah, I think the first one's personal property. The first one I have on here may not be the agenda, but the first one I have on here is personal property. Questions, comments, thoughts? Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we find Oakview Tool Company in compliance for the personal property.
I'll second it.
Motion by Nicole, seconded by Bill. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Next up is real estate improvements. Same thing with this is with Aardvark Enterprises. So we probably got switched around with the agenda. But
yeah.
Same thing, all in compliance.
Right.
And,
right.
And
make a motion. We approve the Aardvark Enterprises LLC's abatement for another year.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor share by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay. Next up is the ordinance 2013-1, which is the amendment to the sewage service ordinance. This is the second reading. I know that Jeff and Mike and Marcia have all kind of been working to get some further clarifications from IDEM. Department of Environmental Management to try to figure out exactly, kind of get some more specifics as to what specifically to make sure what we're doing is what we need to be doing. And so it would be my recommendation that we table the second reading of that ordinance until we get further clarification from IDEM on that matter. Is that okay with the rest of the council?
That's a good idea.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We will table that until the first meeting in March. Okay. Next up is ordinance 2013-4. It's a traffic ordinance amendment. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Please read 2013-4 by title only.
Ordinance 2013-4, an ordinance amending Chapter 75, Traffic Schedules of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Okay, I know we talked about some changes at the last meeting from the initial reading, so I wanted to make sure those all got in. Marcia, I know that you took a lot of those suggestions, or all of them that you put in. I just wanted to make sure the suggestions that were posted did not all make it in.
Well,
is that what you're saying, Bill?
The one on Ellsworth Street, it says Main to Six. Nope, I'm sorry. I misread it.
Okay.
That's right.
I did see Walton Drive was put in there. The other thing I think we discussed was Oak Street. And I see that it has it from, well, that's amended to remove.
Well, there was a part of Oak Street in. We removed the South Oak Street, and it's now up right above that section 6, the third one up above Redbud.
Okay, yep.
So now it's listed fully, that's the entire street now.
For 20 mile an hour. Now.
Right.
Okay.
So that's why it was removed in the middle section.
Appreciate that. Any of the other changes?
I think that was all.
Okay.
That was the main one.
Okay. Any discussion or questions about the ordinance? Hearing none, can I have a motion?
I move that we approve ordinance 2013-4.
Second.
Motioned by Bill, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay, next up is ordinance 2013-6. Can I have a motion to... Well, that's not right, I'm sorry. That's not next in line, is it? Next is the city parking lot, which I think is the last one here. That was the one that we added to the drop box. Okay. And this had to do with parking lots, specifically the city parking lot. What's the number on that?
Five.
Thank you. I'm sorry. It's hard to go back and forth. So, can I have a motion to read ordinance 2013-5 by title only?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Please read 2013-5 by title only.
Ordinance 2013-5, an ordinance amending Chapter 71, parking regulations of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Okay, this ordinance stems from the Parking Committee, after obviously hearing from business owners and trying to find a good middle ground, that the Parking Committee is suggesting to the council that we make the municipal parking lot, which is the one right next to the post office, free parking for basically 24 hours, except for two handicap spots. One of them is already there, and the other one we're going to move up to the northeast corner of it. So we'll have the two northeast corner spots of that lot as handicap spots, and then the next three spots is 2 hours, so we'll still have turnover in that lot for people going to the post office. And then the rest of that lot be free parking. Now, we're trying to discourage individuals from parking there for 24 hours. So that's why you see the portion on there that talks about it's free parking for 24 hours. So, but that's kind of the thinking behind that. There's a lot of spots in that municipal parking lot. It should accommodate our service-based businesses as well as some of the business owners in that downtown area. Give them a place to park that's not too far away. Everything's not perfect, but it is. But I think this is a good concession, if you will, by the Parking Committee toward the downtown business owners.
And this also gives the folks that live downtown an opportunity to park there?
An opportunity to park, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the whole purpose behind the 24-hour portion is to make sure that they're not parking there for 3 days during the business hours, but it does give them that opportunity to park there. So that's what the purpose of this ordinance is.
There's no way to meet every individual needs. This seems to be it's worth trying. And people want to tend to view it and go back.
Yeah, and I really don't think there's going to be abuse of it. I think this is, like I said, I mean, when you add in this parking lot, and then you add in Jackson Street and Market Street and, you know, Southern Chauncey and Northern Chauncey Streets, you find a good plethora of parking spots available within a block. So, yes.
Just a point of inquiry on the floor.
Okay.
How many parking spaces are there in that lot?
In that lot?
Okay.
How many parking spaces are in that lot?
I guess there's at least 20.
That was the number I was going to be at, was about 20-ish. And it would be rotating, obviously. People go to lunch and people, you know, have meetings outside and things to that effect. So the thinking behind it, I guess, is again, opening that lot, then that gives those business owners in the downtown an opportunity to park there. But it also opens up, you know, more of Jackson Street and Market Street and other places. That. Is there any other questions from the public?
Point of inquiry.
Yeah.
Has the council seen, my name is Jason Larkin, I'm in the Rockford Building. Are you familiar with the Rockford Building?
Mm-hmm.
I put together a petition. Has the council seen the petition?
They've not seen it yet because the parking committee hasn't gotten together to see it yet. Usually it goes to the parking committee first and then we'll come to the council.
Okay.
So that's why, Jason.
So that'll be addressed at the next meeting?
It'll go to the parking committee first, and then the parking committee will make a recommendation of whether or not to pass it on to the council or not.
Okay. Are your emails available?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll send you a PDF.
Okay. And actually, Jason, if you'd like, I can send them a PDF of it. That's fine if you'd like. It's up to you.
Either way, just I'd like it to be heard. I think the petition's a good idea. I mean, that zone and hourly parking worked in Chicago when we lived there. I don't see why it wouldn't work on Line Street. I know they do a lot of things bad in Chicago, but the parking situation, at least where we lived, was okay. People that lived there could park there, and people that were visiting could also visit. The situation on Line Street, it doesn't make sense for people to get parking tickets when they're the only car parked there. And there have been multiple tenants in my building who have gotten multiple tickets in the last month and a half when they're the only car parked on Line Street, which is absurd.
I would like to kind of add in there, because I'm not sure the protocol here, but my point of contention is that it's been a problem for a long time for business owners, and the business owners are the ones who are paying property taxes and employing the people in some city and paying the utilities. And may not be a problem for all business owners, but it so happens that I'm Dan Arnold, by the way. My husband's Jeff Arnold, the attorney downtown. Our building, before we even purchased it, the parking was sold away to another building. So we have never had parking. So this has been an ongoing issue for us, and all of a sudden it's become like pretty contentious. Parking tickets going from $5 to $10. It's a little steep, but it's a problem for our employees as well as for my husband, who often has, you know, huge piles of files. He comes from Allen County Court and comes here and has to make hearings in Lowell County. So, you know, it's just been a difficult situation. And I think I agree with the zoning and the ticketing. Another idea might be selling permits. You know, if you can collect money selling annual permits and having those displayed, maybe that could.
And I appreciate that. I will say I know the parking committee, and I will find it. Two of the members of the parking committee on the council here, but I know that we've looked at that stuff and we'll continue to look at it. You know, I think it was kind of the thought, I'll tie in there too, but I think it was kind of the thought of the parking committee that this parking lot would accommodate, you know, a fair amount of our business owners. And you know, we, as I talked about in my State of the City address, we have this balancing act that we're always walking with the city between retail business owners, many of whom actually have thanked us for doing the two-hour thing, service-oriented business owners that obviously have meetings for three to 5 hours, and then renters. And trying to find a good balance between everything, between the 2 hour and the 3 to 5 hour, and then the full day or whatever it is. So, so that, and I know that stuff, and I don't know if the other members of the park committee want to comment on that, but that's kind of where I think we've you know been and been focusing on and trying to figure out a good way. So, any other comment?
We just have an easy solution to the problem. We haven't figured out how to stretch a block yet to accommodate more parking, but I mean, like Mayor said, we have such a diverse group. We don't really have a true identity of our downtown and what it truly is. You know, we got just a hodgepodge of everything, and when we're trying to accommodate everybody, it's, everybody has an opinion on how that should happen, and so it is rather, it's extremely difficult for us as a non-departing committee to try to figure out some way to make people happy, and every time we turn around, there's another roadblock that pops up that, you know, that makes us and that business owner upset. So, you know, we have to learn to get along and try to respect each other's areas, so to speak. And yes.
Well, and I have kind of a unique problem perspective. One, because I'm older, and two, because my dad was a police officer for many years, and he was the cop when they had the meters, and the city paid him $125 a year to keep the meters repaired and in working order. So he was around for that. So, you know, I know that the law enforcement side of it, you know, we're now business owners, so I understand that side of the coin. I just think it's been an ongoing problem, and it'd be nice to find a solution. I don't know, maybe selling permits and giving it to an empty lot. Eagles have a huge lot that's never full, especially during the day, and that seems to be a lot of the problem is during the business hours.
Well, and I do want to let you know that the park committee has investigated that before, and the situation is kind of changing over there. We're not sure where that's going to land, but I do want you to know, last year we did, I mean, we had discussions with the Eagles about shared parking and things like that, and could never come to some kind of an agreement. So I just wanted to reassure you that, you know, we continue to look at it, and I mean, by no means are we trying to obviously penalize business owners for having a business downtown, but it is a fine line we walk, and so I mean, I appreciate both. And Jason's came in and talked to me a little bit about that, and so I appreciate both being here to talk about that a little bit. You know, I know obviously where you both are. With that business or with that parking lot being there, does that help the situation a little bit? I mean, I know with Roper Building, you're basically catty corner from where we're talking about, and you know, Arnold's office obviously is right across the street and up the alley a little bit. But I think where I struggle personally is that, you know, our city workers, we have a parking lot on the corner of Line and Market, and we walk about a block to City Hall every day, and so I don't know what's your feeling on that.
I've got tenants that are a little bit older that have, you know, have had knee replacements and whatnot, and walking even that far is a great distance for them. You know, they haven't given in to getting the handicap thing in the window, and they, in the past, that's never been an issue. They've been able to park outside the building and get in and out of their car okay without having to walk that far. You know, for the real estate people, the way clients know that somebody's in the office, they'll see the car and pull in. If they don't see the car, I've had people that work there at the REMAX office that have told me, if customers don't see a car, my car parked there, they're not going to pull in, because they'll just assume that nobody's in the building. You know, so that's something to consider as well. But, you know, I mean, as far as Lime Street, I understand that on Van Buren Street, there's a shortage of parking. On Lime Street, there's plenty of parking. We're just to see people getting tickets. I think it's a different situation. I hear you on Van Buren Street. You wish you had more spots. But on Lime Street, I don't understand why we, you know, the people that are on Lime Street couldn't have a sticker that said, you know, you pay $20 a year, you get a Zone A sticker. and then you can park there whenever. Everybody else is 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I know that at least, and I know we had talked about two different spots, one on the south side of Van Buren Online and then on the north side. I know that, you know, during lunch, specifically, especially with the Nook and stuff, I know that that area on the south side is fairly busy. The north side, I know, is probably a lot more open, but I think those are definitely things that the parking committee can take under consideration and figure out if there's potential there. Mrs. Arnold, did you have anything else to add? I didn't want to cut you off.
I mean, you know, I think that making that opportunity along Line Street is a good idea. I think looking at some of the abandoned lots completely empty is a good idea. You know, selling permits, I think, is great. I mean, I'm really happy to hear that you've opened up the parking lot.
Yeah.
Beside the post office, that's a start in the right direction. You know, I can say that I've never, you know, I've swooped in and Jeff's office and to do things. I've never really had a problem finding a spot during the day, so we don't think that. I don't think it's a huge problem. I just think it's something that probably should be discussed at some point.
I appreciate that. Thank you both for being here, by the way. I appreciate it. Okay, so back to the ordinance specifically. If there are any question or comments you have about the ordinance itself and things to that effect. Like I said, I think it's a good concession, but I'm willing to answer questions if you have any. Okay, then can I have a motion?
Make a motion to approve ordinance 2013-5.
Second.
Okay, motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual signs. It's unanimous of those present. It will go to second reading at the next meeting on that issue. So, next up is the ordinance 2013-6. Correct. Okay, can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Unanimous of those present, please read 2013-6 by title only.
Ordinance 2013-6, an ordinance amending Chapter 94. Fire Prevention Code of Title 9 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Bill, I'll turn it over to you.
This change was just to bring the fire code ordinance in line with state statute. That the state law dictates how a fire lane has to be marked, and our ordinance was different than that. State law says it can't be, so I got with the fire chief and we discussed it and came up with the only difference between this and state law is that our ordinance is a little more stricter in the fact that it also requires them to post signs and have the street markings, where the state statute just requires the street markings. It doesn't require the signs, but the signs make sense in northern Indiana when you're going to have bad weather and people aren't going to be able to see no parking written on the road if it's covered with snow. So it made sense to make that addition to it.
Marsha, did you have anything to add to that?
No, that was purely brought to me, and I hope I met your wishes.
It does.
Okay. Any questions or discussion about that? Hearing none, can I have a motion?
Make a motion to approve ordinance 2013-6.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. We'll move that to second reading next week, or next council meeting, excuse me. Okay. Department head reports. Mike, we'll start with you.
Okay. We replaced a motor saver at a booster station. We had trouble with that last week. And after we replaced that, we got everything back to normal in there. And we had two guys spend 2 days last week clearing off a easement where there's a sewer force main out there along US 30 and 100 South. It hadn't been cleaned since the sewer line went in, so it took us a while to clean it up. We're going to finish cleaning that up once the weather gets a little better. And then I met with Mark Nye from DLZ and Kevin Michael on the Eagle Glen Waterline Loop location. And during the process, we discovered that apparently none of the easements for the fourth sewer main were ever recorded 20 years ago. So right now we're in the process of doing some property searches to straighten all that out so we can continue. And I also met with Jeremy Roschek from Armstrong about the garage project. And I should have contracts for those projects from the engineers back within a week, week and a half for the next meetings. And other than that, that's about it. We read meters last week and 35 check reads, but everything else is going pretty good. So.
Okay. Questions of Mike?
I don't know if it was last week or the week before the water usage was down substantially. Do you have any idea why or just...
No.
It was down 100,000 gallons.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We didn't really have a leak anywhere, but, you know, for the other one to be higher, but we're back down again this week, too. So, yeah, I don't know that one week where some of it went. I'm not really sure yet. So.
Any other questions for Mike? Okay. Thank you, Mike. Tom, before you begin, I completely apologize for you.
That's fine.
But I do want to talk about it with the council now. Yeah, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're going to have to wait. during Board of Works,
I can leave.
The Board of Works had had a presentation by Mr. Forrester to basically giving the city the or the Board of Works the option and ultimately it then going to council that you have the option of paying the drainage assessment fees for the city or passing that on back onto the tax bill so the individuals who own those properties would pay it. The recommendation from the Board of Works is that we pay that out of stormwater fees because we feel that's an appropriate use of stormwater fees to pay for those drainage assessments for our residents. Okay. So with that stage kind of being set, Brandon, I'll let you fill in the holes that I completely glossed over.
Well, I'll try and keep it brief. The bottom line is, I give you three pages. The first page is drainage assessments for real property in Columbia City. The second is drainage assessments for city right-of-way. And then the third page is just the statute that allows the municipal fiscal body to pay on behalf of the owners. The bottom line is on the first page, $14,747, and on the second page, $357.69. Those columns show the amounts that would be assessed to city landowners and then the drain numbers in the left column. Those numbers that are in the red are indicating drain funds that are in the red. We have 640 plus different drain funds. And so we've got 70 of those, 9 that are in red. For the 543, it's shown twice, 27,843 and 8,071. First number is if all landowners were assessed at the originally determined rates of $2 an acre or $35 minimum per parcel. At the meeting with the mayor and Jeff and George Trump, our county commissioner and drain board representative, I went to the drainage board last week. Drainage board agreed to reduce that rate for the time being to $1 an acre with a $10 minimum, which drops that to the $8,071. So basically, that column minus the 27,843 sums to 14,747. that the city collect column left of that is if we were to collect every grain, that is what the amount would be. The total collect is for each respective drain, the total amount we would collect, city and county, and then the sum at the bottom of that, 28,000, is only for the drains that we anticipate collecting this year. The final two columns, the last time we built the city, the year that that was, and the amount that that was. And you can see that there's a couple from the 90s. For the Phillips drain, which is the 543, which is in red on the left, that's the second largest watershed, the largest power account. I found in our records that the city has paid on behalf of the citizens going back to at least 1974. So there is precedent for this. The way it was written up back, it's been variable. Some of these drains, you'll see the city hasn't paid, and I'm guessing that those because those were in areas that hadn't been annexed, and some of these drains we haven't collected since the 70s or 90s. So it's kind of all across the board on how it's been done. But we have advanced our GIS data, and now we're able to use the GIS to query every parcel within a watershed and apply the minimum rate versus per acre rate citywide, which that's the intent of the minimum rate, is that you have a concentration of houses and driveways and sidewalks that produce more runoff. So we assess them at a little higher rate. So believe it or not, that's the really brief version. And I know there's a lot of data there, and I'm here to answer any questions.
To back up Brandon's point, when Jeff and I met with him, Commissioner Trump, it was a two-hour meeting, so he did a great job of truncating it, Brandon. Questions you have for Brandon?
Brandon, these are drains that just happen to go through particular people's property, but it drains entire neighborhoods and things. Is that what?
Yes. Yes. I actually brought maps if you want to see.
I just wanted to be clear on what we were talking about. So
basically, for the most part, the majority of these drains were, when they were set up, when they were established as regulated drains, they were outside of the city limits. It's because of annexation that, like Westgate, for example, the 081 and 082 drains, those are the Columbia Realty. You know, that we have, some of us know that that drain runs right through the middle of Westgate. If you look at the map, you'll see that these county regulated drains are out on the perimeter. 4-H Browns has a couple of tiles.
Talk about like that.
And these drains, there's 28 on this list, these are drains that we collect an assessment for. There are other drains also that we don't collect. That's countywide. We've got 1,500 drains countywide, of which about 700 we collect an assessment for.
And we're talking about just a little over 15,000?
That is for this year. And we talked about that a little bit, too, because it varies. And Dan made the comment, and I appreciate that comment, that we only collect drains when we need to. Okay? Some counties collect for a lot of 4 years. And we don't do that. So the drains in the 2012 city that are shown in red, those drain funds are actually in the red. So sometime we need to get those collected and get our, we have a GDI fund that we borrow money from when a drain fund is short, and we need to get that paid back and use those projects. But
yeah, the total that the Board of Works has recommended is the 2012 city number, the 14,747,11, and then also the 357,69 of the next gate for our easements and things to that effect, so that gets paid for stormwater. But according to the law on the third page, it points to the fiscal body of the municipality to make that decision, so that's why the Board of Works is merely sending a recommendation.
And in the future, I'm anticipating probably more like in January, we'll be making the determination on which drains we intend to collect. And so, by whatever means of communication, whether you know, I'd be more than happy to come back if you want, or communicate through mayor or staff, you know, what drains we intend to collect and what the amount would be. I've got one of our programs, a new program set up that if we're going to bill directly to the citizens and go on their tax bill, I can flag that project. Or I've got it set up so I subtracted all those city parcels out of that and added a dollar amount into the city right-of-way parcel. Make up the difference. So I can do it either way. But
all right. We got checking it out, and Columbia City is the only community that does it that's going to do it like this. Before, we weren't paying basically, we paid some, but not like we, like everybody else in the county is being billed. So by going this route, I thought it was extremely important that we do not add any more assessment or bills to our residents, that we just continue paying out of our utility. That's, we're already basically paying a minimum ditch assessment by our stormwater collection. So that's kind of what, in my opinion, that's what it's there for. So we've, and I, like I said earlier, that I know how fiscally responsible that office is, that there's that line of trust there, that, you know, they're doing work that only has to be done. So that's the reasoning behind actually being more, actually it's being more fair distribution of
we've been paying it out of stormwater fees already.
I'm sorry.
We've been paying it out of stormwater fees.
The easements, but not the other portion, right?
Well, all I know is we sent a bill.
Okay.
Where it comes out of. I mean, you can see now, like if you look at the drain 299-021, you'll see all the way to the right in 2008-09, we did a reconstruction. And basically, the city paid for that. That was a drain that's out by the Jeff's office. It was under Tower View. And we had that agreement back at that time. I'm not sure what fund that was paid out of. That was a pretty big chunk of change.
But the city as a whole was billed. It wasn't on the taxpayers' bills.
Correct. Correct. I believe we had a written agreement that the city would pay for it. We handled the project through our office, took bids, and supervised installation through our office. The city would agree to pay that bill.
I agree with Dan that we're already, the citizens are already paying for it when they pay their, I believe, their stormwater fee anyway.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Forrester? Okay. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
And would you guys like to have 2 weeks to think about it, or would you like to, or do you feel comfortable in taking a vote today on paying those out of stormwater?
I don't have a problem taking a vote today.
Okay. So can I have a motion then?
Make a motion that the city pay for the drainage assessments out of the stormwater funds.
Second.
Okay. Motioned by Ben, seconded by, I'll give it to Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Thank you. Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir. Tom, you're up.
Other than the written report that I submitted earlier in the month, some of the noise that you're hearing down there right now with the screw gun is, we became aware here a week or so ago that the ceiling in one of our little storage areas was about to come down, so the guys took it upon themselves to do the labor and get that corrected. I showed the mayor the other day, and it was
pretty bad.
Yeah. Before somebody got hurt, we decided we better get it fixed, so that's what they're doing tonight. Other than that, got a new report coming out, and I'll have that by the next council.
Questions of Tom?
Thank you, Tom. Jeff?
I sent everyone a report earlier today. I wasn't anticipating coming tonight, but the mayor convinced me otherwise.
No.
Just a couple of things. I began customer, I guess to highlight, customer service visits began this week for the commercial power billing customers, and so far that's going really well. Just as a reminder, last year, between Alan Teo, myself, and the mayor, we covered all the industrial power billing customers. It's a means that we can use to outreach with our customers, identify any challenges that they might have, and see how we might be able to work collaboratively to remedy any challenges. And then also, it gives us insight as to what the business temperature is with them as far as whether they're getting ready to expand, contract, or you know, God forbid, close. We haven't run into that yet, thankfully. And that leads me into another topic, that there's an industrial customer that's made first contact with Alan Teal over at the EDC office, looking at the possibility of expansion, and I'm working on getting information that would possibly help get them some incentives through our through the state. But because there are electric utilities customer, it would go through our utility, so no cost to us, but use us as the conduit. And then recently I finished up the spreadsheet for the downtown property owners within the Redevelopment Commission area, that's the actual certified area, and have started putting together some questions. I'd like to eventually survey those property owners with very basic information questions to provide ideas as far as if they know of some of the programs that are offered through the Redevelopment Commission, and what their immediate and long-term plans are with their properties. I've talked to Doug Brown at the Chamber of Commerce about this, also Lori Shipman at the EDC office. She suggested that the EDC office, and I've talked to Ben as well, that the EDC office might be able to help us with a survey through SurveyMonkey. To catch it that way. So I don't know.
Exactly. I was going to say, I know we have a SurveyMonkey account because we did that with the pool.
Okay.
So we may be able to do that internally also, but we can maneuver that.
Yeah, what I'm thinking is just, you know, very basic questions. That, I mean, that's what it has to be with SurveyMonkey.
Yeah.
You just want to lean
it. I think you're allowed 9 or 10 questions total. So
I'm working with them, and then I'll be forwarding to Ben too the initial ideas that I had for questions. So I hope to get that done this in the near future. That's it.
Okay. Do you want to talk maybe for a second about the rain barrel program? I know that we're taking it under consideration for Board of Works for next week or next meeting, but
I know Sean said he didn't want a half hour discussion on it. Sure. John Goetz and I have been working, John Goetz with the SWCD, has been working with me on development of a rain barrel program for our community. And the main purpose of this is to provide public outreach, education, and participation, which is part of our minimum control measures for our stormwater program. The SWCD in Wells and Allen County have run a program for several years that's been very successful, and Whitley County SWCD and the city would like to collaborate together and run a dual program simultaneously that would provide residents and then, of course, Whitley County, their customers, so to speak, with the opportunity to purchase rain barrels and the attachments, the accessories needed. And then in our case, what we would do is to cost share. We're looking at probably a $30 or thereabouts, share of the price of what the rain barrel would be. For our residents, they would have to show proof of residency that they are on the stormwater utility. And all told, the average price is going to be between $75 and $100 for a total turnkey rain barrel. Dan brought up some questions during the Board of Works meeting. The average rain barrel in a given season is estimated to be around 1,300 gallons. And that's 1,300 gallons of rainwater that potentially could go to watering yards, flower gardens, what have you, as opposed to, in most cases, we've got a combined sewer system collecting, conveying, and treating at Mike Cook's treatment facility. So that's what we're trying to do, is to get the rainwater out of that, also provide education to the public. Is it the end all? No, and it never will be. But it gets people geared to thinking about sustainability, about preservation, conservation efforts, that kind of thing. So that's where we're at. We're looking at the Board of Works considering it and tentatively approving it at their next meeting, and then we would immediately start the advertising process. It'd be about a six-week process for advertising and opportunities to order.
Okay. Questions of Jeff?
Jeff, did you say that that one barrel will reduce approximately 1,300 gallons?
Over the course of the season, yeah.
And your proposed program will help provide one barrel to a household?
It would be one barrel per household, correct. Any additional ones they could purchase, but it'd be full price.
That's
55 gallon, yeah. 55 gallon barrel. And what we're looking at partnering is because the company that we're purchasing through will give better deals as far as shipping the more that you purchase. So that's what we're looking
at. By collaborating with those other groups, we get a better price in shipping in general.
Yeah.
So, any other questions? Thank you, Jeff. Larry?
We continue to trim trees. Our stump grinding has been completed. Now we'll be waiting in the spring to get nice weather to fill the vacancies of the stump and reseed and put straw down. The Peabody Library was having problems with some higher voltage, so Wednesday we disconnected the power at the Peabody Library. Lowered the taps and got them back in business within about 20 minutes. Haven't heard any response back, so I figure that's a good not to hear back. That things must be better. We had to hand dig a sewer line around at Circle Drive in order to install an underground service. Took us a couple days to do that. We did our standard reconnects, disconnects, locates and reads. We're still working on our project. We've got quite a big project. Columbia Shores are putting underground in out there. Of course, we're not getting too much cooperation from the weather, so it's an ongoing thing. Tested a bunch of meters, repaired some street lights. Done our normal checking of the subs as usual, changed the transformer and replaced the molding Thursday, and watched the weather today. Keeping our fingers crossed that we don't get any ice.
Great. Okay, questions of Larry? Thank you, Larry. Sean, do you have anything?
Matter of fact, I do. Working a little bit with Larry on this as well. I'm happy to announce we are going to partner up with the Columbia City High School, with the more specifically the Columbia City Arts Department. We're going to run a contest for the graphic design class at the Columbia City High School to design the next logo for our electric department. It's been several years since we've done anything with that. So, and as part of my my goal personally, eventually I take over as superintendent to be more involved with the schools, and this is just one step. We're getting there. We are going to offer a financial reward for the student that gets picked for the logo design, and we're considering also a donation to the school art department, whatever supplies or materials used. So it's very exciting, and kids will be excited to do it as well. So. And the winner of the contest will also, the two new vehicles that were approved by Board of Works tonight, the winning logo will be put on those vehicles, and also on our letterhead, like that. Good opportunity.
Yeah. Do you want to kind of go over for 2 seconds the electric vehicles and what's happening there? Because obviously the Board of Works have approved it and all that stuff, but probably keeping the council informed would be good.
Well, we did replace a dump truck that was purchased back in 1997. Been a few years needing to be replaced, and that was approved this evening. Also, we are purchasing a 2013 Ford Escape SUV. That'll be the vehicle for the superintendent, and I will drive that when I take over, assume the position. Basically, just to get a vehicle on the road that is much more fuel economic, and that was, I think it's just going to save us money in the long run. And the vehicle that the superintendent is now driving will go to the crew, and they're going to be able to use that for pulling wire and hauling transformers. And it's a 3/4 ton 4x4 truck, and that's what it's made for, and that's where it'll be.
And also, for the Board of Works approved a new dump truck for Mike to replace a 2001 dump truck, and for the street department, and it was somewhere around that the area too. So, just so you know, 'tis the season. So, any questions for Sean? Okay, thanks, Sean. Tim.
On the past few weeks, we've had numerous officers attend outside training courses. Last week, we had 3 officers attend crisis intervention training. We also had 2 officers attend field training officer school. Next week, I know we have 2 officers going down to Plainfield for breath test school. And this trend will continue through this year with making training a priority. We'll have numerous officers going to outside training courses. We had a committee meeting yesterday just to kind of talk about goals and kind of where we're heading this spring with some trainings. Today we did walkthroughs at Little Turtle and Eagle Tech. So far out of the 7 schools in the corporation, we've done walkthroughs at 6. Next week, the last one will be Mary Raver. After we do walkthroughs at all 7 schools, we will meet with the superintendent and the district safety team again. Kind of go over some things that maybe we can change in those buildings. And we will also have discussions about upcoming trainings with law enforcement and school staff. Officers continue to do a good job with walkthroughs, extra patrols, special attention on banks, schools, and businesses. I just want to commend them. They're doing a great job, and it's really appreciated that they kind of have an increased presence in those areas. Our new officer came in Saturday evening and rode with Sergeant Inslee for a few hours, so he's starting to get plugged in, get to know people. We're still waiting to hear from PERF to make it official. He has to be approved through PERF, and then we can get him started. We start our annual vehicle and equipment inspection, so that'll be going on the next couple of weeks, just to do an annual inventory inspection of all the gear. And our in-car computers, I think we're going to order those soon. With Terry's help, we've, I think, picked a laptop that will work good in the vehicles, so we're going to go ahead and order those. And those get here, we'll get them installed and get some training done. That's it.
Questions of Tim? Okay. Thank you, Tim. Mike?
Monday morning, I received a draft permit from IDEM for the splash pad. That needs to be renewed September of this year. I spent the time reviewing it, and it'll go up for public comment before too long. Once I send, I'll email them back so I don't have any changes or anything like that. It pretty much stays the same as the last permit, so that will be coming to us soon. Mailed off the EPA sludge report that I'm required to do every year to the EPA. It basically says the amount of sludge we generate and dispose of. So I've got that mailed off. I've got quotes back for the Quessy generator, and they range anywhere from $23,000 to $25,000. Those quotes, I'll be sitting on those for a while. We're not going to act right away on that, but we have a good idea what it will cost to equip that station with the generator. That's the first of the year. One of my staff, one of his goals was safety. And so I appointed him to go through our safety equipment. And there's a few things that we're going to replace as far as the air pack and a new blower, illuminated lift stations or manholes, stuff like that. The equipment that we have now is currently 15 years old. The air pack we're going to replace is just a small 10-minute escape pack, which we have one now. It's a 5-minute. We're going to up it to a 10-minute. Instead of a 2216 PSI bottle, we're going to up it to a 3000 PSI bottle, 10 minutes of air. We have to change the connections on our main supply bottles, but once we do that, everything will be up to date, current. The new blower and a new hose, like I said, it's been serviced for 15 years. We're going to replace that. Instead of taking the old one, send it, you know, 3 or 4 states away and have an air pressure done on it and paying for that. The price of a new blower, and as long as we've had this one, we're just going to go ahead and replace it and probably keep our old one as a backup, but then we'll have a primary one that we'll use most of the time. In our Headworks building, we found out we have gas and gas sensors inside of this building, a whole elaborate system that the sensors are in one building and it sends signals to another central center in our electrical building. And they kept failing and failing and failing and pretty much don't work anymore. We've replaced them before, and we found out for the conditions that they're in, the wet, humid, and moist conditions, the sensors only have a lifespan of about 3 to 6 months. And we have 8 of them, building at $175 a piece. So we're looking at $1,400 to $2,800 a year to replace sensors in this building. They're made out of stainless steel, and the conditions they're in, they don't last. The other option that I'm going with is purchasing a new 4 gas meter for the Headworks, that whenever the guys go down below, it's a very small unit. Tom's familiar with it. And they will have to put that on their belts and wear that as they go down in the basement of this building to perform their work on a daily basis. Price of that is less than the $1,400 for 6 months of service on the other ones, and all the sensors have a 2-year warranty on them. So the unit itself is $1,125, and sensors have a 2-year warranty. After that, you replace them, and then your sensors, you get brand new sensors, and then you have another 2-year warranty on them. So we're going to be purchasing one of those, and we added some more cones to our safety equipment, so we should have about 2 dozen large traffic cones now. So if we have to do anything, then we're good there. That's all I have.
Questions for Mike? Thank you, Mike. Brett Roberts is here from the Youth Council. Introduce yourself a little bit, grade, and what we did last time.
All right. I'm Brett Roberts. I'm from Columbia City High School. I'm a sophomore. And last Thursday, the Youth Council met for the month of February, and our main business of that meeting was our business walks. The business walks was an idea that we had at the beginning of the year, this year, to find out how the youth is involved in the businesses in Columbia City. So we had 4 questions we asked. They were, do you feel that young adults utilize your business? Would you like Columbia City Youth Council to highlight your business on our Facebook page to make young adults more exposed to your business? Does your business have community support? And then we asked them to elaborate on that. And then do you have any suggestions for the Youth Council? And actually, we got some really good feedback, I think, from the businesses on how we can get the youth involved in businesses in Columbia City. A lot of them were looking for incentives on how to get the youth involved. And so now, next meeting, we're going to possibly meet with the EDC and talk about how we can get the youth involved, different incentives we can use, different programs we can have. And I kind of wish the two members talking about parking were still here, because that came up in our business walks about parking. And the discussion was talked about in the council quite a bit. So, I mean, that was basically all we had that meeting. And we're hoping to continue to review the data we got from those meetings so we can encourage the youth to, instead of going to Fort Wayne or Warsaw to eat and have fun, maybe stay in Columbia City, go to Bones, go to the businesses downtown, just because that's one of our big points this year, is how to get the youth involved. So that's basically our meeting last night.
Okay, great. Questions of Brett?
How many businesses did you visit?
Oh, gosh.
The whole downtown corridor,
yeah,
basically.
We split downtown into three parts. The southern part right here along the 9 corridor. The 9?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we had, like, the northeast and northwest section. And,
yeah, we got, basically, you went almost to Walnut Street,
yeah,
on Van Buren. You went north to Jackson on 9, and we went as south as the new Auto Credit USA.
And we actually, I think we got 15 businesses to, like, hand the survey back to us that day, or we took answers from them that day. And then others would take the survey and would mail them to the mayor's office, or, like, fax them in or something. And then we had a few just not want to take it, kind of suspicious, I don't know why, but just kind of territory, I guess. So, yeah, and we actually got a lot of businesses that wanted us to advertise on our Facebook page, like, right now. They said, yeah, that's great, how do you get involved? So we're looking to start that up within this month, so next month, I should say.
And as I mentioned in the past, I mentioned in our State of the City address, our youth council is going to be working a little bit with our electric department to do this new sign, welcome to Columbia City sign, coming from the south on 9, actually fairly close to the wastewater treatment plant. So that'll be a great project that we'll do in May. But they've been meeting with some of the different departments. I think next month, I think we're at the MSF. And then we're going to come back, and hopefully if we can get those people around, they'll have that forum to discuss those issues that they heard. So they've done a great job. Thanks, Brett. Appreciate that. Marcia.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Rosie.
Just a reminder for anybody that's on the trash committee. Have a pretty good thing. Thursday at
8 a.m. in here.
You're here.
Exciting. Exciting. Is that it? Okay, I will try to make this quick. State of the City address was 2 Fridays ago. Appreciate those of you who were there, hopefully I got some of my goals out front and center with individuals. Some of those goals we're going to start taking up next week, so just keep an eye on the agenda. It's not next week, next council meeting. We had our Northern Indiana Mayor's Roundtable last Friday, and despite the weather, we actually had a really good turnout. We had almost 70 people there out of the 85, 89 that registered, so that was really good, especially in light of snow and ice and things like that. And that went really, really well. Had a lot of compliments about, you know, how clean the roads were in Columbia City and things like that. So Kelly's not here, but thanks to his guys for that. Attended both the police and fire pension meeting over the last couple of weeks. Those both went very well. Did that with Rosie, so she's a trooper too. I had a meeting with our commissioners to discuss issues with parking, as well as collaboration opportunities. Went very, very well. I really see great opportunities for partnership, and great opportunities where we can benefit each other through really, frankly, just talking about things. And so really appreciate them being willing to meet with me about multiple issues. A new thing that is really new, as in yesterday new, WGHS is going to be now doing a monthly segment with me for 1 hour. I believe we're going to have it at Richards, and it'll be March 7th at 11 a.m. It'll be an hour-long program where individuals will be able to call in, ask questions, stop in and write questions down and things to that effect. Just another way we can get more of our projects and more of our information out to the public. And that we're planning on that being a monthly thing. When I am unable to attend because of multiple emergencies or whatever, I'll be calling on some of my department heads to fill in from time to time, but we'll try to give them as much advance notice on that as possible. You see the smiles that's happening, so
that's great.
I would be happy to.
Today I was at Eagle Tech, and the Spanish class gave presentations on sister cities and potential sister cities in Central America. It was some really great presentations, some beautiful places that I should plan my next vacation at, but had some really great ideas, and I don't know what's going to come of it, but it was great to be there, and they had some great ideas. And then lastly, Thursday of this week, I will be reading books at Kwesi, which is really one of the best parts of this job. It really, really is. So that's kind of what I've been doing in a nutshell since we haven't met for a while. So. Dan?
No.
Ben?
The Ordinance Review Committee had our first meeting a week ago. We found out there's a lot of ordinances that need updating. So that's going to be an ongoing process.
Great. I really look forward to the work of that committee. I can't tell you how excited I am. To use Mark Green's words, I can't tell you how excited I am to see what comes out of that. And so that's great. Cole?
Nothing.
Bill?
The only thing I've got is I was sent an LTCP reduction PDF that's upside down. So I.
Oh, yeah. Mike.
I didn't put that in yours. I put them in the other ones. It didn't get switched when. I'll have that fixed.
Okay, thanks.
Because if you're going to turn and you're never going to be able to.
Yeah, I
I'll take care of that.
Thanks.
If you don't, keep doing that. Okay. Great. Audience, comments, questions, concerns? Okay, hearing none, we'll call the meeting. Oh, I'm sorry. Press, do you have any questions? Okay, we'll call the meeting adjourned then. Thank you, everybody.